5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. As I mentioned last episode, let's visit part of a book that I recorded back in 2018. Today, we will read Chapter 1 of the book titled History of the United States, written by Helen Pearson. The chapter title is How This Land Was Found. And like I said last episode, these recordings got lost. I mean, they weren't totally lost, but I knew where they were. What I didn't know was what the title was or who the author was, so I had no idea where to even look to be able to reference this book. The other day, I stumbled upon the book by accident, and so I figured I would circle back around to it. Now, as a warning, I did skim the recording, and it seems that I have already edited my mistakes out of the recording, but in case I missed any, I do apologize, and John will let me know if I missed anything or messed anything up. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 1, How This Land Was Found. For a long time, in past years, it was not known that the world was round. If the men in those days had been told that a ship could start from a port and sail straight on for months and come round to the same place, it would have made them laugh as at a good joke. They did not know the real shape of the earth, but thought it was a flat plain. In those days, our land was the home of the Indians, or red men, as we call them, from their dark skins. The red man does not live in a house, but in a sort of tent or hut. The tribes of red men had all this land for their own when Columbus was born. The great woods, the green plains, the bright streams were all theirs. They made their wars in a strange and fierce style, and wore at their belts locks of hair, cut from the heads of those slain by their hands. These locks, cut from the head with part of the skin, they call a scalp. It was the pride of an Indian to have scalps hung at his belt. No one had taught him that this was wrong, and he did not have the word of God to show him the right way. When Columbus was a mere boy, he was fond of the sea and ships. He would go and watch the waves and think about how ships were made and the best way to sail them. He was born in Genoa, which is by the Blue Sea, so when he was a small boy, he could watch the white sails come in. Such queer ships they had there, with strange high prows. As time went on, and he grew of age, he made trips in these ships, and was in sea fights, and once or twice he was in a wreck. So you see, he had a chance to grow strong and brave for the work he had to do. What he read in books taught him that the world was round, and not flat, as was thought in those times. So he knew that if he could sail west, he could come to a new land. He thought of this a long time, and at last he grew more sure of it, but he could get no one else to think as he did. He spent 10 years in this way. He was full of plans, but he could get no help and no gold. He was too poor to do all with no aid from his friends. At last he went to Spain. There were a king and queen there who were kind to Columbus, but at first they would not give him their gold to help him. They thought this was a wild dream. At last, with a sad heart, he made up his mind to turn his back on the court of Spain. While on his way, a man came to him from Queen Isabella. She had sent him word that she would help him, that she would pledge her own gems to give him aid. But she did not have to do this, as means were found when Columbus went back to the court. His heart was made glad, for they gave him a small fleet of 3 ships, and on the 3rd of August, 1492, the sun rose on the fleet as it went forth on its way to the new land. All was strange to the new crew, and they had all sorts of queer thoughts and fears of the sea. They had not been out of sight of land in all their lives, and when they saw the deep, dark sea on all sides, they were full of fear that they would not see their homes again. The trade wind, which took them west so fast, would keep them, they thought, from their land when they had the wish to go back. At last, they grew so full of fear, they swore they would not go on, and Columbus had hard work to make them. But soon there were signs of land, and some land birds flew by the ship, and one of the crew found a branch of a tree on the waves, which had some fresh red fruit on it. Oh, how glad they were! Columbus felt so sure that he was near land, he gave word for the ships to lie by that night. No man thought of sleep. They all kept watch on deck to see the strange new coast for which they had borne so much. In the night, a cry of joy was heard. Columbus had seen a light far off, and a shout of "Land! Land!" soon came from all sides. When the sun rose, they saw a green strip of shore some 5 miles long. The men fell at the feet of Columbus and shed tears of joy. Then they sang a praise of him to God, who had kept them and brought them safe and sound to this new place. They got out the small boats and put men in arms in them with flags and a band to play a march of joy. And the crews made their way to the shore. Columbus, in a rich dress, with his drawn sword in his hand, sprang on the beach, and then the crew came next. They set up a cross, and all knelt at his foot, and gave thanks for their safe trip. Then Columbus set up the flag of Castile and Leon, and took the new land for the crown of Spain. While they stood there with shouts of joy and songs, some strange dark shapes stole up with soft steps to their side. The crew thought these men must have come from a new world, as they saw their dark skins and the gay paint and plumes they wore. Columbus gave them the name of Indians, for he thought the new coast was part of India. He did not know that he had found a new land. These men with red skins were glad to kiss the feet of the Spaniards and change their gold chains and rude rings for the beads and pins the crew gave to them. Columbus spent some time in the new world he had found, and then he set sail for home to take his friends and the queen the great news. A wild storm came on the way home, and Columbus thought that all was lost, so he wrote his tale on a cake of wax and put the cake in a cask and threw it in the sea, so that if he had gone down in the storm, all that he had found would not be lost to the world. But God took care of Columbus and his crew. They got back to their homes once more and had a grand time. The king and queen gave them a new and fine fleet, and in time they came back and saw new points of land on which to build homes, and they found, too, South America. There were some in Spain who did not like Columbus, for he had won gold and fame, while they had none. So they told false tales of him, and when his friend, Queen Isabella, died, he was once brought back from the land he had found in chains. How sad that was it not? At last, he had to die old and poor, and this land did not have his name. It had no name for some time, but at last, an Italian who made a few trips there and wrote of what he saw gave his name to the New World. His name was Americus Vespucius. That is a hard name for you to say, but you can all say America, and that is the name of our land.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle has earned its place in history and has come to a final stop.